Welcome to Classical Companion. I'm Diane Jones, and over the next weeks and months, I'm chatting with artists and musicians throughout the region about the music they turn to in these challenging times. Today, I'm speaking with Heather Buckman. Heather is the president of the Society for New Music here in Syracuse. She is also the orchestral conductor at Hamilton College, and she's given us a marvelous, marvelous list. Heather, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Well, Diane, thanks so much for asking me. This is a really great topic, isn't it?
I think so, and I love what you've given us on the list. These lists, I'm just having so much fun with all of this music.
I know. I want to hear the other ones, too.
Before we get to the music, though, I do want to check in and see how you're doing. How is the Society for New Music doing, and how are things going at Hamilton College?
Well, as I'm sure you're aware, everywhere we are recalibrating. So with the society, the fact that we've had to alter our performance schedule in respect of what is socially responsible and in the best interest of everyone's health, we're finding this or treating it as an opportunity to get creative and resourceful about thinking about how we can use other means of reaching the public and being present and remain available as an artistic presence in Central New York during this time.
And you've had to, this is the challenge with teaching, is virtual teaching for music is really difficult.
Yes. So everyone is talking about this. In fact, someone sent me a video this morning of a music teacher who had composed a song to express the emotions of moving her teaching online. And she was playing this sweet little ukulele chord progression, and she laid down four bars of that and then proceeded to scream on the top of it.
I think that's what I've been hearing. It's coming through the walls recently.
So, yes, definitely thinking about how this will work. I'm on leave right now. That's given me the space to actually think about, for however long this is our reality, you know, what's going to work most successfully under these particular conditions.
And we will get through it together. This is one of the things I keep saying, but I am confident that even though we are physically apart, we are all in this together, and I think we'll come out the other end better and stronger than we were going in.
Absolutely.
Well, let's start talking about the music. First of all, just on the whole, what is it you are looking for in music during this time? What is it that you turn to with music?
Well, as I think you've probably found out in your conversations with other musicians, we all have our own versions of music therapy that we apply personally, even when it's not a national or global pandemic like this. We all have music that is familiar to us, that's comforting, that helps us chill out and lower our stress levels. So I have my go-tos here, and I also have come up with some that are specific to this particular situation.
Let's start in from the top of your list, if we could. I will say this is a 60-minute single movement piece, so we are not going to be able to hear the whole thing. But talk about this first piece from Brian Eno.
Well, I would say probably anything by Brian Eno would be great for getting one's zen on. He is one of the great names in ambient music, so I'm sure he's familiar to a lot of people in our audience. This particular piece, Thursday Afternoon, that album just happens to be in my CD collection, and I'm sure a lot of people are doing things by way of self-care, like yoga or meditating or just generally getting your zen on and relaxing. And so this particular album, Thursday Afternoon, it's 60 minutes of G major drone, very peaceful, very serene, and I love to just get my yoga blocks out and my little stretch tool for my legs, and it just adds to the ambiance.
Well, let's take a listen to at least a little of Brian Eno's Thursday Afternoon. Thank you. Well, you're right. That is just so calming, so steady. And I think that helps is that steadiness.
It's that drone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any pieces in this genre that you like? Or
it sounds funny. I personally tend to listen to a lot of Native American flute music.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Marina Ray.
I'm going to write this down.
That's kind of where I go.
Have you ever been in the O'Hare Airport? There's that tunnel that goes in between Terminal B and Terminal C. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. And they have this moving sidewalk mm-hmm. there, and they also have this neon light sculpture that just, you know, sends, you know, waves of grooviness, you know, from one end of the tunnel to the other end. And they have playing in there, I think it must be by Brian Eno, and it might even be his music for Airports.
Very likely. I'm going to have to look that up now.
Okay. Yes, O'Hare.
Moving on from Brian Eno, well, moving back from Brian Eno, really, we're going back to music of Bach. Tell us about what draws you to Bach's Partita Number 1.
Well, speaking personally, I find during times of stress and chaos that something about the music of Bach in particular has this quality of order and structure and logic and serenity, just like the music of the spheres, like everything is placed just perfectly and in this wonderful symmetry. And there's something about that that I find very calming. And as someone who's studied piano, I also find just sitting at the piano and playing Baroque music has this very calming effect on me just from the action of my fingers on the keyboard. And this Partita Number 1 in B-flat major, it's extremely peaceful. It has this ascending line to it. There's just something that feels like a deep sigh to me.
Well, we have a performance here from Maria João Pires of Bach's Partita Number 1 in B-flat major, BWV listing 825. I think I'm with you on sitting at the piano. There is something organic about being at the piano and the action of the hands on the keys and just that kind of a whole body experience with the piano.
Yeah, there's something about like using your fingers in that way. It's a completely different physical experience than playing a wind instrument, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, and it just feels like that particular repetitive motion just has this calming effect on my nervous system. I don't know if pianists feel that way, since it's their main thing, you know? But also Maria João Pires, and I'm glad you knew how to pronounce her name, I didn't. But have you seen that one video where it's a dress rehearsal for this orchestra, and it's also an open rehearsal, and they're playing the Mozart, I want to say the concerto number in D minor, I think it's number 21, and she's sitting at the keyboard. It's her first rehearsal with the orchestra, and she had been told that it was a different concerto.
Yes. The look on her face.
Yes. And then she just goes with it.
Yep. Yep. Well, and she played it beautifully.
Yeah.
She just pulled it out. And in a sense, she had to just let it go because it was going to be what it was.
Right. But, you know, I mean, there's another life that do a curveball, you know, just roll with it, right?
Well, the next work is, I'll have to confess to you, this is one of my favorites.
Oh, good.
Talk to us about the Pert.
Arvo Pärt is one of my absolute favorite composers, and he's Estonian, and he is also an Orthodox Christian, and his music comes very much from that tradition. So you hear these beautiful church modes in his music, and in this piece, Fratre, the modes give it this sound of being very ancient and kind of timeless. But he also has this kind of minimalist aspect to his music as well, where he's cycling through these different patterns, these arpeggios, and the repetition of that has this kind of mesmerizing or hypnotic effect. And it also has this calming effect on the nervous system, I find. But again, lots of space in there. And yes, we're all confined at home now, but any place where we can sort of find some space to breathe and go inward, I find this music really helps me do that.
And this is one of those works where there are so many different instrumental configurations that have played it over the years.
Yes, and this one recording with Gidon Kremer, the great new music violinist, and with the great jazz pianist Keith Jarrett is just a classic.
Let's take a listen. That recording from Kremer and Garrett is one that I go to a lot. There are a couple of different versions of this that I go to, but that is one of my go-tos for this work from Arvo Pärt, the Fratre.
I'd love to know your other ones.
The other one is the 12 Cellists of Berlin.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because it's very, very different when you hear it that way.
Totally, but I love the solo violin.
Mm-hmm.
And the piano. There's something about these particular timbres, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
We're back to a keyboard work again. This is music of Couperin. Talk to us about this one.
Well, as it happens, I first heard this particular piece in a ballet class. This was the music for the bar stretch in the middle of the class, and I just instantly fell in love with this piece. Of course, the modern piano was not available to Couperin, but I find I really enjoy hearing his music on the modern piano. And in this particular case, the piano has this warmth and this resonance to it that hearing it on the harpsichord that Couperin would more likely have actually written it for originally, the effects of those two different instruments are completely different, both wonderful. I just find I like the piano because it has, again, that sort of soft, deep, rich quality to it.
Well, we have that here, Le Dodo ou la mort au berceau, from his 15th order. This is Alexandre Taraud performing.
Another thing I like about this piece is it has this beautiful juxtaposition of A major, this berceuse or cradle song kind of quality to it, and then it shifts to the B section in minor. And so it's that juxtaposition of light and dark that's very touching and tender and moving. I just think it's a beautiful piece.
Most gorgeous, and a gorgeous performance there as well.
I agree.
Now, this was the original end of your list, this next piece, but we've added one. But,
oh, wait, then there's the Max Richter Vivaldi,
yes.
Four Seasons?
Yes. This is a recomposition of Four Seasons. Talk to us about this one.
Well, I think everyone knows Vivaldi's Four Seasons, right? Which is a very extended concerto for violin and string orchestra. And in the last 20 years or so, we've seen this whole genre emerge of classic works like this being reimagined and recomposed. So the composer Max Richter came along and obviously has great love for the original Vivaldi Four Seasons and didn't really change the harmonic language so much, but gave it a more modern kind of rhythmic treatment where it's, in some ways, it's very similar to the music of Arvo Pärt in that it has this repetitive, mesmerizing, cyclical kind of quality to it. Pushes it a little bit in the direction of the Brian Eno as well. It has this more ambient kind of quality. You can hear it a little bit in the post-processing of the recording. This section that I selected was the first part, which is spring. I love listening to this, especially this time of year when we're stuck inside, just to remember that outside it is spring, and that spring is also a metaphor for hopefulness and new beginnings. That spiritually is very helpful right now.
Well, let's listen to these new beginnings. Max Richter's recomposition of Spring from Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Were you familiar with this piece?
I wasn't familiar with this piece.
No, oh, did you
no.
love it?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
And I love the third movement of Spring. It has this incredible up quality to it. It sort of ends, you know, not on a one, but sort of like in mid-jump,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes, yeah.
And it's like, it just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming, like spring, like, you know?
It just kind of pulls us out of ourselves and brightens us at this moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was the original end of your list. That was the first list that you sent me. And then you said, oh, I have one more piece I have to add. Why did you have to add this last work?
Because Jan Sibelius' Fifth Symphony is my all-time number one go-to for music therapy. And this particular recording that I selected with Sir Colin Davis and the London Symphony is a real classic. This is the one large orchestra piece on my list. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking more closely at it, I realized how appropriate and perfect it is for right now, in that Sibelius was composing it during World War I, obviously a very dark time, and that he didn't finish it until May 1918, which, since we've been talking about the only other comparable emergency that our country and the planet has been through before was the 1918 Spanish flu that was happening at the time that the Fifth Symphony was finished. So I didn't even think of that, but there's a coincidence for you. But it has this opening horn call that ascends, and that gesture is very rising and has this hopeful, peaceful, serene quality to it. And he's another one who, like the Couperin, he juxtaposes major and minor. So you see light and dark, and he's very connected to nature, and that comes through powerfully in his music, and a very majestic tone to it as well. There's a story about the third movement that it was inspired by a vision that Sibelius described in his diary of seeing the sight of 16 swans flying overhead, flying right over him. And he said that was one of the most powerful experiences he had ever had. And so the theme that emerges in the middle of the third movement is known as the swan theme. And I think you'll be able to hear where that is.
Well, let's take a listen of work very, very appropriate for this time, Sibelius' Symphony No. 5. Here is Sir Colin Davis leading the London Symphony Orchestra. I can hear what you mean about his feeling for nature in that music.
Oh, yeah. I think that in all of his music, like the Second Symphony, certainly. You know, I was first introduced to Sibelius when I was at Interlochen Arts Academy, and the Academy Orchestra took Sibelius's Second Symphony on tour to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in February.
Oh my.
Awesome. Totally awesome and perfect, right? And so something about first being exposed to that music in that season and in that place just gave me these very powerful associations of it coming from a northern climate.
Oh, and, yes.
You know, which is one that I, you know, have a lot of, you know, love for the, you know, for the beauty of winter and for stark landscapes. But stark, beautiful landscapes.
Mm. Well, that takes us to the end of your list, and an incredible list. I'm sure everyone has enjoyed it so far. And before I let you go, before I say goodbye, I wanted to see if there's any last thoughts you'd like to leave with us, anything about the music that we've been listening to, or just anything you want to say to folks at this time.
I guess all of the pieces that I've selected have either some sparkle to them or they create space. And I think for myself, I find that music is complemented by silence. Giving ourselves space right now is very, very healing. So I think the complementary nature of music and silence, that they work together, and they're powerfully healing. So I hope people enjoy this list.
I know I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Once again, many, many thanks to Heather Buckman. Heather is the president of the Society for New Music. She's also the orchestral conductor at Hamilton College, and you've seen her all over the place. She has conducted for Society. She's conducted for Symphoria. And thank you once again, Heather. Thank you so much for taking some time and sharing this music with us and sharing your stories with us.
Thank you so much, Diane. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the other musicians and the music-loving public when we can all be together again.
And we will be together again.
Yes.